we thank you this morning. We thank you that Jesus is our friend. We thank you, Lord, that you remind us that we are your friends as we keep your commandments. And we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for the sweet spirit in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the chance to sing praise to your name and honor your name. So, Lord, we come today with mixed needs. Some we're rejoicing and happy today, and others are burdened with sorrows and struggles. And we do pray for those of our church family who are traveling today and away on these vacation days. We pray that you'd bring them back safely. So, Lord, today we come just as we are. Here we are. We've come this morning to present ourselves before you. You know the condition of our heart. You know the condition of our spiritual life. And we pray, Lord, that today you might meet us where we are, and that we would be honest enough to turn back and say, Lord, here I am. Here's what I need you to do. Here's how I need to be changed. And that you might help us experience the real power of forgiveness and grace and mercy and kindness. So, Lord, it's good to be together. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are our guests who are here with us today. We pray you'd bless them in a wonderful way for being with us. And we ask that Jesus would be glorified now in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, again, good morning. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is where I'd like for you to turn in your Bible. Gordon, if you can help me a little bit there, I'd appreciate it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. These days, if you've been with us, we've been talking about coming just as we are to the Lord. That's good news. We come to the Lord just as we are, and He takes us where we are, and He shapes us and transforms us. When you come to God, you're never going to be the same. When you come to the Lord, you'll experience a transformation in your life. This morning we come to talk about our bodies and presenting our bodies. That is, now that's all of you. That's not just the outside. That's your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. We come and we learn today, if we're going to accomplish God's purposes in our life, we have to come with our bodies and in a very specific way do what the Bible says about presenting ourselves to God. This is a very important spiritual matter for all of you who are here, young and old alike. All of us have to learn, if we're going to accomplish God's purposes, if we're going to be the people God intends for us to be, if we're going to glorify God, we have to present ourselves to God. And that's what we'll talk about today. So there are people in our world today that talk about the fact that they can do whatever they want with their bodies. But when you come to know Jesus, you can't do that anymore. You can't do whatever you want with your body. You have a new Lord who helps us to understand a new way of living, and we don't do what we used to do with our bodies. So this is very important. It's very timely for the day in which we live, because everybody is so body conscious. You got up this morning and you looked in the mirror. You were body conscious, weren't you? Whoa, is that what I'm looking at in the mirror? So it's a very real thing. But this has to do with our spiritual condition and our spiritual life. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 12. It's a very familiar passage. Paul's writing to the Roman church. And as he writes to the church in Rome, he's talked about some wonderful things in the first 11 chapters. He's talked about being saved by faith through the grace of God. He's talked to us about all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He's talked to us about the importance of walking by the Spirit. He's talked to us about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He's talked to us about all things work together. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. But now, he makes a tremendous change in verse chapter 12 all the way to the end of the book, talking about the practical matters of how we live as a Christian. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So now, Lord, we stand holding our copy of God's word. We're accountable for these words that we read for the rest of our life. May we be hearers of your word, not doers only, deceiving ourselves. And may we find today, as we stand before you, the ability to do what Paul is saying, present ourselves. We stand here today with the opportunity to present ourselves as living, holy sacrifices acceptable to you. May my words honor Jesus. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to make three observations, and I'm going to ask you to take your Bible later on and look at two other passages where Paul talks about our body, talks about the importance of our body in walking and living for Jesus and accomplishing God's purposes. You see, today, everybody in this room, you're either living your life to accomplish your own selfish set of purposes, or you have come to the place in your life and you've decided, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to accomplish in my life whatever God wants to do in my life. I'm going to allow Him to do it so that His purposes will be accomplished in my individual life. That'll affect your family. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect the way you work. It'll affect your friendships. It'll affect how we go to church and do church together. Accomplishing God's purposes or my selfish purposes. Where are you today? Everybody in this room, like all the dear people who've been here all morning long, we all have made a choice, at least today, of how we're going to live our life. All the things you're doing with your body, all the things you're taking part in and engaging yourself in, and the habits of life and your lifestyle with your body are either accomplishing God's purposes or your purposes. I want you to see, first of all, that from Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we learn here that we're to present our body. You have to present your body. I have to present my body as a living, holy sacrifice acceptable to God. But first, present your body. This is a word that is coming from the Old Testament. You see, those Jewish priests, day and night, carrying out in the temple and the tabernacle before the temple was built, day and night, bringing the sacrifices. They presented the sacrifices of the people and presented the sacrifices on their own behalf to God. They presented a sacrifice, the best, the first crops, first fruits, the best of their animals. They brought the best. They presented it as a sacrifice. They gave it up. They sacrificed it to God. They sacrificed their best. They sacrificed their finest. Present to God. What are you presenting to God? You see, this is a spiritual activity. Now, there are some things we come to church and do. We'll talk about them later on in the days ahead, about presenting and giving our financial gifts and our offerings and tithes. But this is about you. This is about you. This is about all that makes you up, all that you are, mind, will, emotion, spirit, and body and flesh. Present yourselves, your bodies to God is the first phrase here. Present your bodies. It's something you do every morning. It's not just something you do on Sunday morning. It's something you find yourself, you wake up in the morning when God gives you another day and you start the day presenting yourself to God. Now, all my life I've had the opportunity to be involved with new couples being married. It's such a special thing, and weddings are a special time. It's interesting to observe how both bride and groom work hard to get ready for that special day when they present themselves in front of God and witnesses to each other. They work hard at it. They work hard at the way they're going to look and the way they're going to dress, and they take care of their diet, they take care of themselves, they present themselves as they give themselves to the other person. In marriage, Paul reminds us, husbands, your bodies are not yours, they belong to your wife. Wife, your body is not yours, it belongs to your husband. There is a sacrifice, a presentation. If you've been in the military, you had your time where you presented yourself in your proper uniform at the proper time to the authorities in your life, to the officers, you presented yourself. This is what we must do every day. We present our bodies. What's on the inside, what's on the outside, we present it to God. This is how it starts for us all. And he says, present your bodies just like the priest comes presenting the sacrifice. You become the sacrifice. You present yourself to God. You present yourself alive and holy. You come to God confessing your sin so that he can forgive you and your body may be used for the purposes of God. God cannot use you. You are not an acceptable sacrifice to God while you're still in your sin. That's why we come and we start the day. We start the day presenting ourselves to God alive and holy before God. This is our spiritual service of worship. Before anything else, as we come to worship and honor the Lord, we come presenting ourselves as a sacrifice. I lay myself down on the altar. I sacrifice my desires, my will, my emotions, what I want. I sacrifice them and I lay them down to you. Here I am. I am the sacrifice. What do you want to do with me? So first we learn today the importance in Romans 12, 1, that we are to present, presentation of ourselves as the sacrifice. This morning, did you pause to start your day by presenting yourself as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God? Oh, this is your duty. This is your spiritual service of worship. This is where we begin. This is where we start. The second thing we learn here about our bodies is found in Romans 6. So I'd like for you to turn back and we'll keep these, I want to keep this thought going on the body. In Romans 6, we learn another principle. First, we've said in Romans 12 that we're to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God, acceptable, which is our spiritual service of worship. Second thing, you present your body to God to be used for His purposes. You say, oh, Pastor Mike, I'm not really, what could God do with me? Who am I? What good am I really to God? Oh, you're special to God. Look, you have a set of people that only you can speak to. You have a family that only you can deal with. You have friends. You have talents and abilities and gifts. You are uniquely and wonderfully made, the book of Psalms says. God saw you in the womb. He saw you and understood and knew who you were before you were created. You are a glorious, wonderful person. You're special and you matter to God, and you have gifts and abilities. You are unique in all kinds of ways. So now you come before God and you say, God, I don't know what you can do with me, but here I am. I present myself to you. I'm the sacrifice. I lay myself down. And now I want to accomplish your purposes. So look what Paul says, Romans 6, 12. These are famous verses, but they're very practical and they apply to everyone in here who's a follower of Jesus. Notice what the Bible says. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. What's your mortal body? The one you have right now. It means a body that's going to die. Do not let sin rule, reign in your mortal body. That means you're not going to allow sin to control your mouth. That means you're not going to allow sin to control your desires. That means you're not going to allow sin to control what you see. What you look at, what you touch, and where you go, you're not going to allow sin to reign in your mortal body and obey its lusts. You see, your body is, your flesh is like a robot. It's tied to those inner emotions and desires. It's like what happened to our parents in the garden, Adam and Eve. She saw the fruit. She saw that it was beautiful. She desired it, and she, with her physical fleshly hands, took it and did what God said not to do. She ate it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. A famous verse in the Bible is James chapter 1. For many of you in this room, it's familiar. You see, familiarity with God's Word and knowing these verses is one thing, but doing them is another. In James chapter 1, James tells us the order of sin. He says, James chapter 1, verse number 14, when you are tempted, you are carried away and enticed by your lusts. I want more power. Power looks like a powerful, awesome thing. So I'm going to, in my flesh, do some things to position myself. I want that person, so I'm going to do certain things to connect to that person. We're enticed by our lusts for power, for control, for all kinds of things. Pleasure and sexual satisfaction. Then when lust has conceived, you see, lust on the inside you can't see, finally is birthed and it comes out on the outside. And then all of a sudden, you do things with your hands. You look at things with your eyes. You hear things with your ears. You talk in certain ways. You go certain places with your feet. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Paul says to us here something very important, church. He reminds us here of the responsibility we have if we're going to accomplish the purposes of God, that we cannot allow sin to reign in our mortal body. So how do we do it? Now go back to the verse. Romans 6, verse number 13. Everybody in here has a lifestyle, and the way you pamper your body. We got to have just the right bed. We got to have just the right hairspray. We got to eat just the right food. Oh, what would happen if I did not feed my flesh? We all have habits. We all have habits driven around pampering our flesh. Your flesh is a robot to your mind and your will and your emotions. When lusts drive you, you'll never accomplish the purposes of God, because your flesh, like a robot, will do ungodly, sinful things. You'll think it. You'll look at it. You'll hear it. You'll speak it. And you'll go there. Paul says something very interesting. He uses a verb in verse number 13 of Romans 6. I have it here on the screen. You can have it in your Bible there. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. He's describing a lifestyle. He's describing the way you live. He's describing the thing you feed your flesh. He's describing those things that you allow into your life that cause your flesh to fulfill ungodly, sinful desires and actions. Don't go on. If you're not going to allow sin to reign anymore in your mortal body, what do you do? You set up boundaries. You say no. You no longer do some of the things you used to do when you lived in open sin and rebellion against God. You draw the line. But was it Job said, I have made a vow with my eyes that I will not look upon a virgin? We have verses in the Psalms that talk about, and in the Proverbs, about speaking very seldom and listening more than we speak. James even mentions. So what do I have to do? Church, this is very important to your you're being able to accomplish the purposes of God at your job, where you're at school, among your friends. You see, we go out of this place living for Jesus to glorify God and to honor Him in all that we do, in our marriages, in our families, in our home life, in our jobs. We seek to honor God in our personal lives. We want to fulfill His purposes to live like Jesus. That means do not go on and on and on presenting the members of your body to sin. That means you're going to have to quit looking at some things on the computer and on your phone. That means you're going to have to decide how much of the world and association with the world you're going to allow into your life. It pulls you in. It pulls you in. Y'all remember the old story the preacher told about the lady who was going to marry the man who was not a Christian? And she said, well, you know, I'm going to pull him up to where I'm at. I'm going to pull him to my level to follow Jesus. And the preacher was a good friend of the family and said to the young lady, well, stand on that chair for a minute. And then she stood on the chair and he said, give me your hands. And he just pulled her off the chair. It's a lot easier to be pulled down into the world than to raise the world up. Don't go on presenting yourself and your members, hands, feet. This is as practical as I can get. What have you been handling? What have you been taking into your body? What have you been consuming? In the state of Tennessee, our law enforcement, our government officials, our school system appeals, our medical people appeal to people about the danger of taking legal drugs, opioids, and becoming addicted and consumed by them. Addiction itself, whether to alcohol, whether to pornography, whether to drug abuse, whether to materialism or power or something else. It's the addiction of your flesh. Have you ever noticed when you give your flesh something, it never says, oh, thank you, that's enough. It says, give me some more. That's why Pat had to tell all the cooks in our church, no more pies for Pastor Mike. He's done. Your flesh will never say, oh, thank you, that's enough for me. I'm going to live a contented life. No, it wants more. Well, that was good, but I want some more. Man, I fell to that. I want some more of that. Give me some more. Don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin, but present yourself to God. As those alive from the dead, you're dead to sin, you're alive now to God, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Did you know this word? It's a little technical thing, but it's interesting. In verse 13, this word members, presenting your members as instruments of righteousness. Did you know that word is the word that means a weapon? Now we're getting somewhere. How does God make you a dangerous weapon against the gates of hell? How does God make you a dangerous weapon to stand for Jesus in a world that will never believe nor trust in Jesus without the power of God saving them? How do you become a weapon for God? When you present yourself to God and you say, I'm not going to do those things I used to do. I'm going to follow Jesus and live a Jesus lifestyle as a disciple of Jesus. Paul said something very interesting in Romans 8:13, and I'll just quote it for time. If you are living by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body. And when you do that, you live. You want to really live? You want to really live? Then you say no to your flesh. You put boundaries on it. You put your body under submission. I've got another verse for you to go home and think about. 1 Corinthians 9:27. This was Paul's personal testimony. I discipline my body and make it my slave. Are you listening? Are you controlling your body and its impulses, or is your body and its impulses controlling you? I discipline my body and make it my slave. This is the spiritual life that leads to joy and peace, what I'm speaking of here. You have to do something with your body. I discipline my body and make it my slave, not so that I'll just be strong and not have a heart attack, or keep from having diabetes. No, I discipline my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified. Oh, Pastor Mike, what happened to those preachers and those teachers and those spiritual people who went to church all those days? All those days, and then they end up living these godless lifestyles and committing adultery and going away. You know, Solomon, wisest man on the earth, except for the Lord Jesus, full of wisdom. But at the end of Solomon's life, after giving us the blessings of his writings, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, other writings, at the end of his life, he could not give up. He could not. He allowed his lustful flesh to desire strange women continually to the end. Though God spoke to him three times, Solomon ends his life disqualified. And for any of us to sit here today and think it couldn't happen to us is a foolish thought. If I want to be used for the purposes of God every day, I get up and I start again and I present myself a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That is the start of my spiritual service of worship. Second, I present my body with to accomplish God's purposes, and I make a commitment that day that I am going to say no to my flesh when my flesh raises up and wants what it wants. No, it's not what my flesh wants. Are you listening? It's what God wants. Does God really want me to do that? Does God really want me to say that? Does the Lord, is He really pleased if I go there? And finally today, live to glorify God in your body. This is the commitment of our lifestyle as followers of Jesus. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6, I have just a few moments, but I want you to look at it for just a moment. Look in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 18. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man or a woman commits is outside the body. But the immoral man or woman sins against his or her own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, when you have whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. No, my body doesn't belong to me anymore. My body belongs to the Lord. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You got blue eyes, brown eyes, green eyes. You're tall, you're short. Different personalities, different emotions, different skills. Glorify God in your body. Honor God in what you say. Sometimes you honor God by what you don't say. Honor God by where you go. And honor God by where you don't go. Honor God by what you touch. And honor God by what you do not touch. Honor God by what you see. Honor God by what you choose not to see or to hear. Honor God by giving Him your emotions when you are struggling and you worry and you fret or you're angry. Whatever it may be, you give it to God. You honor God by giving Him your all. You do not belong to yourself if you're born again. You now belong to God. Offer yourself to God. Do not go on presenting yourself to sin, but make yourself a weapon of righteousness by presenting yourself to God. And remember, live a life of glorifying God. Charlotte Elliott. You don't know who she is. but she came to glorify God in her life. She had a terrible disease, and it struck her down, and she was in the bed, and she couldn't get around. And this was in another time, not in the 20th century, 21st century. Doctors had limited understanding of what to do, and she was a bitter, angry person. She was so hateful. She was so mean. Family didn't know what to do with her, and she was in a bad condition, most likely never to be out of the bed much ever. Immobilized, sick. Preacher came to see her one day and said, "Charlotte, you know what you need to do more than anything else? You need to come to Jesus just as you are." And she said to the preacher, "Just as I am?" And he said, "Yes." She prayed to receive Christ. And guess what song she wrote? Anybody know? "Thank you, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." A bitter woman came to know Jesus. What could she ever do for God? Sick in a bed. She wrote one of the greatest hymns in all the Christian church. What could I do for God? A dear friend of mine lives in another place, just went to heaven. You know what she decided to do in her life? She couldn't do a lot that she wasn't. She didn't feel like she was a teacher. She didn't feel like she could do other things in the church. She was a card writer. Now, for all of our young people, here's what a card is. You write with a writing utensil. You put it in an envelope, and they have something called a U.S. stamp. And did you know the United States of America will take those mailed envelopes and take them to your mailbox? You still have one at your house. She wrote cards for years. That's all she did. She couldn't do anything else. Nobody knows her name but Jesus and a few of her family and others who got her cards. Friend, when it comes down to it, "Just as I am, I come." Why am I coming? Just so I can get what I want? Or am I coming so that I might find a new life of fulfilling and living out the purposes of God? I want you now, I know our time is up, but I'd like for all of you as we close to turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. We're going to allow this verse to be the last thing I say to you today, but I want you to see how Paul lived his life. Paul practiced what he preached. This is not as well known a verse as verse 21 of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, 21, you've heard the preachers preach it. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But oh, you got to read verse 20. Mark it down. May this become the theme of our lives as we seek to present ourselves to God for His purposes, to live His purposes. Paul said, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether in life or death." Oh, that that will be what all of us will say in this room. Oh, that this will be your theme and your desire. Whatever job you have, whatever happens in your family, wherever you go and your travels take you, or wherever you may live, as a follower of Jesus, may you be able to say that Christ, even now, as always, will be exalted in my body. When people hear me speak, it's going to honor God. When they find me in a room present with people, it's going to mean something to them. They're going to sense that I'm different. I follow Jesus. That I'm going to exalt God in my body, in life and in death. So, Heavenly Father, we hear your word this morning, but we need your help. We need your help. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to not go on presenting our bodies to sin. We need your help so that we might come to the throne of grace like we talked about last week and receive mercy and find help in time of need. We need your help. We need your timely help. We ask, Lord, that you would help these who are assembled here, that they might find the help of the Holy Spirit to help them gain control and not allow sin to reign in their lives, that they'll stop doing those things they've been doing for years. They'll drop those sinful habits that lead them to discouragement and despair, and that they'll find that as they submit themselves to you, joy and victory and life and peace start to flow. So today we present ourselves to you. And you know in our hearts whether we do it sincerely. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it all starts there. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I appeal to you, friend, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't know what it means to follow God, if you would just let us help you, we'll talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus. If you have a desire to follow Jesus and you don't know what to do, we ask people to step out and come forward in front of all these people. Why? Because we believe you need to say, I'm going to be unashamed to follow Jesus. So we ask you to come. Some need to come this morning and join this church. This is the place God wants you. Look, we're here to learn how to follow Jesus, how to love one another, and to tell the world about Jesus. That's what we're here to do. We're here to understand and learn God's word. We're not here to entertain each other and be cute. We're here to follow Jesus and be serious about what it means to walk as a disciple in this desperately dark world. Some of you may need to join this church. Today's the day. Step out. Say, it's time. It's time for me to do it. But for all of us, we have something we've heard today. Do not go on presenting your bodies to sin, but present yourself to God. So we're going to sing this great song for our invitation. Take my life and lead me, Lord. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. Steve's going to lead us. If you need to make a public decision today, it's on you now. Todd and I are here. We invite you to come.